This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Mel Kiper Jr., who does this stuff for a living, and he's going to be able to give us some solid answers. So, Mel, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. Hope you're safe and well, you and your family.
We are, Michael. Great to be with you guys. I hope everything's going great with you. And it is the big question mark with Trevor. Is the, you know, do you just give up your young quarterback and take him? And with the grade he has, we're talking about Sam Darnold or, say, a Daniel Jones. In this case, you would. He has that high a grade where Trevor Lawrence would force a team to say, okay, we like our quarterback, but this guy has the higher grade. This guy has a chance to be phenomenal, and that's what you're rolling the dice on.
I'm sorry, Don, go.
No, it was me. I'm sorry. I was going to say, where's that line, Mel? Like, where is the line of the quarterback that... So, Sam Darnold, you're saying you move on, you get Trevor Lawrence. What team has a quarterback that's at a different level where you go, no, not with him, you'd stay with him?
Well, I think when you look at where a team would be right now and you say, okay, with the young quarterbacks, and obviously if you're Josh Allen in Buffalo, and they're winning, so they don't have to worry about that. The teams that are down the bottom of the list, obviously Jacksonville could end up with the top pick. They possibly could. Well, with Gardner Minshew, you move on from that. So the team's picking high. Joe Burrow, you obviously are sticking with Joe Burrow. He's played phenomenally well. Joe Burrow, guys, is his completion percentage in the NFL after almost half the season is better than what Trevor Lawrence was as a freshman and sophomore. So, and right below where it is right now for him at 71% now with Clemson, they're playing a cupcake schedule up until Notre Dame in a couple weeks, and they should be able to handle the Fighting Irish, you would think. Okay, so I think when you look at certain teams like that would be one that you would say, no, obviously you would go a different direction, and we'll have to see what team picks one. If it's the Jets, if it's Jacksonville, obviously Houston, Deshaun Watson, you stick with Deshaun Watson. You're not moving on from him, but of a Daniel Jones or a Sam Darnold, if it was the Jets or the Giants or Jacksonville with Minshew, certainly I think you would move on. Obviously, definitely with Minshew, but certainly with Darnold and with Jones. And Minshew, up until he was hurt, and now he's been injured, played pretty well. So I don't think you just write him off because he was a late-round pick. Minshew did hold his own and played really well and had a good rookie year. But I think those would be the three teams where you would go with Trevor Lawrence and move those other quarterbacks on.
Well, the thing that I'm trying to figure out is, you know, when a quarterback doesn't work out, is it always on the quarterback, or can organizations break a quarterback? So say Sam Darnold gets traded, never becomes anything. It's easy to just chalk up, you know what, the Jets screwed it up, he wasn't that good of a pick, they messed up. Or do some teams have to be responsible for it? They broke the quarterback, they ruined him. They killed his confidence, and they're responsible for the fact that he never went anywhere.
Great question. That's a tough part in this whole evaluation of a quarterback. Sam hasn't gotten any help. You saw him late last year play well. Of course, he had the mono. Now he had the injury this year. We see Mekhi Becton back in the lineup. Looks like they have when he's healthy. He looks like he has a chance to be an elite left tackle. Obviously, injuries all over the place. Saquon going down with Daniel Jones. The Engram's drops. These are two good young quarterbacks. Don't make no mistake about it. I haven't given up on Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold. I still think they're both franchise-type quarterbacks. And I think that you can win a lot of games, and I think you can win a Super Bowl with either one of those quarterbacks moving down the road. Some people will say you're crazy based on what you've seen. I don't think so. You have to stick with what you thought coming out. Nothing has changed that. When these guys have help, they play well. Jones, I think, has more than held his own this year, and for what he has around him, done a pretty good job. That team's been in every game but one game. So I think you look at where we are right now, and you say, okay, with those two quarterbacks, the not having the stuff around them, like you asked. Well, Joe Burrow has a bad offensive line and a bad defense, yet he's had that team in every game but one, okay? And they could have won several more games than they did. He's played great. So you can't always excuse it away. Sometimes the quarterback has to take some responsibility for it. I'm always one, though, guys, that say I am not going to judge in finality any young quarterback until they get some help. And when Sam has had some help, he's played pretty well. When Daniel Jones has had help, he's played pretty well. Now, you obviously got to cut down on turnovers. I bring up Peyton Manning. First 5 years of Peyton's career, 100 interceptions. From years 6 through 10, the next 5 years after the first five, 53 interceptions. He cut them in half. So we don't give kids a chance to evolve and improve. And if you don't get help and you're a young quarterback, you're in a lot of trouble. Sam Darnold right now is 23 years of age. We're ready to kick him to the curb. Well, no, you're not. Well, what if New Orleans wants him, or Pittsburgh wants him, or Indy wants him? Teams picking in that late first round that want that quarterback, that young quarterback, that you're not going to get because you're not picking in the top five, top 10. Those would be three teams I think would maybe be in the Sam Darnold / Daniel Jones sweepstakes if, in fact, one of those two teams picks number one.
Mel Kiper Jr. is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. Okay, we hear a lot of things about how great Trevor Lawrence is, but I know you have to look deeper. Tell me some things you're concerned about with Trevor Lawrence, if there are any.
Well, I think you want to see him again in the big stage against some opponents better than what we've seen. This is just pitch and catch, guys, against what they played. That is a ridiculously easy schedule so far. Miami was a little bit better than they were last year, but that's not an elite team by any stretch. So you want to see him. Notre Dame has some pretty good defensive players. 4 or 5 of those guys will be in the NFL. See him November 7th there. Then, let's face it, Ohio State's defense isn't what it was. Alabama's defense is struggling right now. So I don't know if he'll face that kind of defense like he did against LSU when he was at 48.6%. Even in the Ohio State game, early on, they had his number. Then the targeting against Sean Wade. Then he got rolling. You give him credit. He bounced back after a struggling start. He led them back to a come-from-behind victory. But against LSU, he looked very average. And that was the one hiccup in his career, one bad game in his career. And he didn't throw an interception, but he was at 48.6. And Joe Burrow on that stage, in that field, in that game, was the better quarterback by miles. And people want to say, well, Burrow had the better team. No, he didn't. Clemson had a great offense around Trevor Lawrence. People are still criticizing LSU's defense, mainly because of the struggling start. They got better as the year went along, and people didn't take that into consideration with all this analytics, I call it. I hate analytics. I call it analytics. But, the bottom line is, let's face it, LSU's defense was good. Clemson's offense was really good. And that's not an excuse for the way that Trevor Lawrence played in that game. So I want to see him in those big games, on the bigger stage, against defenses that won't be that good, won't even be close to what LSU's was. Does he play the kind of football you would expect to see from a guy that we're calling one of the elite of the elite to come out in recent memory?
Who does he remind you of?
Yeah, he moves so well for a big. I don't know many guys that are 6'6 that can move. I mean, you saw against Ohio State how he could just outrun people. And now Josh Allen does it as well, but Josh is bigger physically, more weight. But Trevor, in an arm and the accuracy and the poise and the character and the competitiveness, he has everything. I mean, we talked about John Elway, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, guys that we knew were going to be the number one guy. And this guy's always been, coming out of high school, and let's not forget Justin Fields from Ohio State is going to be right there. This notion that he's a mid-first-round pick, or people say, oh, he's going 15, that's not happening. He's going number two. Number two or number three will be Justin Fields, and that'll be cool. We've had it before. We're going to have quarterbacks go 1-2. Those were the two top kids coming out of their high school on the overall board. Was some had Fields, some had Lawrence, but they were 1-2, and they will be, one will be Lawrence, and two will be Fields come late April this year.
All right, so that leads me to this question, because the Jets being the Jets, Mel, they're going to run into wins that they shouldn't have that will drop them to second. So they'll have an opportunity to take Fields or stay with Darnold. What would you do in that scenario?
Great question as well. Let's see how Fields plays. They have the Penn State game coming up this week. I'm not going to worry about what happened against Nebraska this past week. He was great, but let's say I want to see against some defenses that have better talent. Now, Michael Parsons isn't there for Penn State. That hurts their defense. They lost Indiana and all that, but still a bigger stage, bigger game. So I think with Fields, he's a remarkable talent. And his ability, people forget, last year that Olave throw was on Olave. Or they come back and beat Clemson. After they were up, then they got down, they came back on that final drive. That was more on Olave. The one incompletion was a drop by Olave in the end zone. Heck of a player Chris Olave is, but he had that drop Saturday. That was the only one, only incompletion. So Justin Fields, if he keeps playing at this level and he's right there with Trevor Lawrence, then that would make you wonder about that too. I'm not about to just kick Darnold and Jones to the curb and say it's automatic. Let's see how the season plays out. But I would say Trevor Lawrence, unless he struggles, and you make you wonder, well, the LSU game, now he's struggling again. I don't like to anticipate good or bad. I just want, let's let it play out. But if it plays out the way you think it will, then Trevor Lawrence would be the guy if you're the Jets. Justin Fields could be, but that's not definite yet because he had that 1 year where Trevor had two. That's the difference, guys. Trevor had two great years. Justin had one. Now it would be 3-2-2. So it'll be a little closer there. So now you can say Fields isn't that one-year guy if he plays this year like he did last year or improves on that, then it would make Fields a discussion with Darnold and Jones, where right now we think it's only going to be Trevor Lawrence, and if you pick two, then you pass on Fields, you stick with your guy. Well, that's not yet determined. I'm not going to say yes or no to the Justin Fields. I will say Lawrence, if he plays like you think he will, and we know he can, then I think he would be above and beyond anybody.
Is there any validity in your opinion, Mel, of Lawrence kind of hedging now about coming out? Because Paul Feinbaum has said there's no way he's not coming out. Is he just trying to play games and tell the Jets, I might not want to play for you?
I think when you answer that, Michael. Now, first of all, you can't manipulate the draft in late October. You don't have to make a decision until mid-January. So all this, I think, has much to do about nothing. You know, he's talking about Clemson. And I respect him even more than I did before. And I had great respect for Trevor. But to say, hey, this is about my Clemson Tiger team. I'm a Clemson Tiger. I'm not a New York Jet or whoever I'm going to be in the NFL. He's got a lot of work to do. He's got to be laser-focused. Remember, going into this year, he lost four starters on the offensive line. He lost his top two receivers, one to the NFL and Higgins, first pick in the second round. The other, unfortunately, Justin Ross, to injury. He knows that to win a championship, he's got to be on his game. He can't be worried about anything else. So I give him credit for that. It's not about him. It's about the team at Clemson. So let's give him credit for pushing this off and not even saying, he's not going to say anything right now. If he says he's definitely out, then it's, oh, okay, guys, you're leaving me. You're thinking about the NFL. You're thinking about all this. No, he's saying, I'm thinking about one thing right now, and that's the Clemson Tigers and trying to win a championship or win a Heisman Trophy or do whatever he can. Team, if you win a Heisman, it's because you did great for your team. I think he's more concerned, obviously, about getting. I think he wants to get back, guys, and do what he didn't do against LSU. He did it as a freshman when he beat Notre Dame and Alabama. He didn't do it last year. He had a 48.6% completion percentage. Burrow accounted for five passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. He was outplayed by miles by Joe Burrow. And I think he wants to get back to that championship and play great and go into the NFL with all that momentum and be the guy that left Clemson with two championships and maybe a Heisman Trophy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to get back to Jones for a second because you were talking about Peyton cutting his turnovers in half. Mm-hmm. We've seen Jones be a problem, not just throwing but fumbling the football.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any indication this is going to be a problem going forward?
Well, I looked at all the Brett Favre fumbles. I think he's an all-time leader, and you see that list of guys always on that list, and we see some really good quarterbacks on that list. It's going to happen. I mean, Darnold last week fumbled and got it back. Unfortunately, with Daniel, some of the fumbles he doesn't get back. That's just bad luck in a lot of cases. And I think when you look at the offensive line, and obviously he knew he was loose with the football, and somebody holds it a little too long and doesn't feel things and sense things. But the bottom line is he was a young kid who played, I thought, pretty well. Look at his touchdown interception ratio last year. It was excellent. This year it's not as good, but a lot of that has to do with the supporting cast. I mean, Evan Engram has got to be much more consistent catching the ball. We know that. He's got to get his core of receivers out there all at once. The offensive line, Thomas has struggled. They put Pierrot in. You look, the center hasn't played the position, the right tackle, no Solder, even though he wasn't really good. He would have been better. So all those things, and no Saquon, all those things have hurt Daniel Jones, but the bottom line is he's had that team poised to win all those games but one, and unfortunately some things happened at the end. So I'm not concerned about Daniel Jones's accuracy. We know he's Danny Dimes for a reason. He can make every throw. We know he's competitive. We know he's smart. He can certainly move enough. You see the mobility. There's no reason to believe he can't be a heck of a quarterback. And the same thing for Sam. What Sam has to do is stem the tide. When things start going bad, let's get some positive things happening. You saw last week he was great early. Then he couldn't complete a pass in the second half. So and he had the interceptions. Could add another one to Edmonds, even though the one was on a tip ball. So I think with Sam, when things start going bad, you got to rise up at some point and squelch that. And I think at USC that was somewhat of a problem. It's been a problem here. But as I said, guys, I think Jones and Darnold can be really good in this league. It just so happens that Darnold and Jones are in a year where there's Trevor Lawrence sitting there who could be super elite. And I'm not going to say he is yet until he proves it. And that's why these remaining games for him are going to be really important.
Before we let you go, how tough is it to evaluate players under these COVID conditions?
It's not, it's still, I'm back today, I was looking at guys, you're still looking at football players and the stands. I think that impacts the defense. They feed off energy, they feed off fan enthusiasm, and the offense can't communicate with fans in the stands, which goes underrated when you're watching this. It makes it much easier for the NFL offensive players, quarterbacks, and linemen to communicate than it would. Same thing for these college kids. That's why offensive football is so much more dominant this year on every level, really. So I think you have to look at it from that standpoint, but you're still evaluating players, are still going at it without the fans, and they're trying to get through this season to make the best of a bad situation. So from an evaluation standpoint, Michael, I don't think for me it hasn't changed at all.
Good stuff as always, Mel. Great to talk with you, and thank you. Great stuff.
Anytime. You guys are the best. Take care, man.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.